Are there any mountains in your life this morning? Any obstacles? Any things that are a source of constant struggle for you? Anybody like that? The Lord told Moses there, the Bible said that they had come past Mount Seir. Seir, that's where the Edomites, who were the descendants of Esau, they dwelt, but they'd come past Mount Seir many days. Many days they've come past this mountain. You know what it means to compass? That's, that word is the root word of the word compass. What do you do with a compass? You draw what? Draw a circle with a compass, right? So when you compass a mountain many days, you're just going around in circles. You're going around and around and around that mountain. If you're here this morning and you've been dealing with one thing in your life, one mountain, one problem, I understand that there's a lot of problems in life. There's a lot of difficulties. There's things we have to overcome. But I'm preaching this morning to you. If you're here this morning and there has been one particular thing that has been a source of ache and trouble or weakness for you, I'm preaching to you this morning. The question I want to ask you this morning is, how long have you been dealing with that one thing? How long have you been dealing with that one thing? How long has it got the best of you? Now, for some of you, it might be your temper. For some of you, it might be your tongue. Reckon there's anybody in here that it might be your tongue. For some of you, it might be lust. For some of you, it might be a habit. For some of you, it might be that you just continually get your feelings hurt. I'm not, see, and now I was afraid to say that, Fred, I hurt your feelings. That one thing, for some of you, it might be just some past event that happened maybe years ago in your life and you've just never been able to get over it. That thing that's got the best of you, sometimes it's just something in life that gets you down. The Lord said to Moses, ye have come past this mountain long enough. I wonder if God would say that to anybody here this morning. You've come past this mountain long enough. How long have you been saved? Now, let me ask you this question. If you've been saved a number of years, amongst those X number of years that you've been saved, how long has this mountain been a source of trouble to you? I believe God would say to you this morning, you've come past this mountain long enough. It's time to turn and go northward, as he said to the children of Israel there. How long are you going to go around and around that mountain? What I'm going to do this morning, Lord willing, just felt like the Lord had me to do this. I'm going to try to put two different thoughts together. I'm going to try to go to 2 Samuel in a few minutes. You know, some people have this area in their life, this mountain in their life that they go around and around, and there's a lot of folks that never get past that one thing in their life. And as I mentioned already, it might be a weakness in your life. It might be some event that happened so many years ago where you were hurt or offended or whatever. It might have happened to you. And it's sad to say that so many people in churches all across America this morning have been going around the same mountain for years. They've been going around and around and around. Now, back when I was in high school, riding the strip was popular. I never did enjoy it. I'll just be honest with you. I thought it was a waste of time. I thought it was a waste of gas. I didn't mind going down one time and seeing who all was out, but after that I got tired of it. I'd ready to do something else. But that's the way most people spend their spiritual life. They're going around and around and back and forth, and they're turning in down at Village, for those of you from MacMinnville, and then they're going up it used to be Last Chance up there. I can't remember now where the old turnaround place was. It used to be on the north side there. But they're spending their whole life just going around and around. You have come past this mountain long enough. Isn't it sad to think that you and I as Christians, amen? Anybody saved this morning on your way to heaven? Bought by the blood of Jesus Christ would be defeated? I almost barred Brother Jay's visual aid this morning. He taught Sunday school lesson this morning about the cycle of sin. And I wanted to go up here and change the words and put the cycle of defeat. I tell you, there's a lot of people sitting in our church pews. I hope there's not that many this morning. The pews may be full of them. I don't know. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. But there's a lot of folks that are just going around and around and around, and you're compassing the same old mountain over and over and over again, and it is a cycle of defeat. And you never get over that problem. You never get over it. You never get past it. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough, the Lord said. They never get over it. I tell you, for Saul and his life, and Brother Jay mentioned him just a little bit during Sunday school, there was Saul when he came back from the battle and the women began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands, David his ten thousands, and Saul never did get over that. That was a fatal blow to his spiritual life. I tell you, he was already on his way down, but he never got past that thing. And the rest of his life was consumed in trying to kill David, one of the best men in his army. Probably the best man he had. I use, for example, a lot, the young lady that had a terrible thing happen to her, Tamar, David's daughter, raped by her half-brother. But the Bible says that Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. I want you to know something this morning. It is not God's will for you to go around the same mountain the rest of your life. I want you to understand this morning, it doesn't matter how drastic the problem was. It doesn't matter how terrible the offense was that hurt you. It doesn't matter how big your weakness is. God's will is for you to go on in life. It is God's will for you to get past that thing that has troubled you for so long. And God would say to you this morning, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. So many people spend so much time wasted going around and around in a circle of defeat, in a cycle of defeat, and they never go on and do great things for God. That is not the will of God. It is not the will of God that you go around the same mountain all the time. Praise the Lord. I want to praise the Lord for something this morning. Praise the Lord. I feel like that this church has gotten past some things that hindered it for years. We've outlived it, Brother Joe. Praise the Lord. When I first came as pastor of this church, I started going and visiting people. Their name was on the roll and they didn't come anymore. And I would get things like this. Well, I ain't never going back down there. Well, the sad thing is they wouldn't go anywhere else. And some still today still going around the same old mountain. Well, this happened back down there 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Going to go around and around the same mountain. I got news for you. The mountain ain't going to go away. You're not going to wear the mountain down by going around and around it. And as long as you're going around and around that mountain, you are living your life in the shadow of that problem. The children of Israel, for days, for many days, they've compassed Mount Seir. They've went around. They've been on the east side. They've been on the west side. They've been on the north side. They've been on the south side. And they're still going around. And all the while, they've been in the shadow of that problem. It has governed their life. It has destroyed them. It's brought them down. And they've been defeated all the time. They've lived their life in the shadow of something that God said, you can get over this thing. Is that you this morning? It's not going to go away. And as long as you're going around and around and around, you're going to continue to live in its shadow. No matter where you go, maybe they liked it on the north side and there might have been some springs or some beautiful scenery. And it wasn't long until they found out they were in the shadow there as well. I thought about Elijah when he went out from Jezebel, when she said that she was going to kill him, and he went out and he cast himself down under a juniper bush. I mean, he's alone. It doesn't matter where you go, folks. Your problems are going to go with you if you don't get over them. No matter where you go in your life, your problems are going to go with you till you learn to trust God and get over those things. The sad thing is a lot of innocent people suffer as long as you're circling. I thought about all the children here that are going around and around in circles with the children of Israel because they just keep compassing the same old mountain over and over and over again. What about it, Mom and Dad? As long as you're struggling with the same old things, then you're hurting your whole family. As long as we're in that place where we're compassing this mountain over and over and over again, and we never get past it, we never go on for God, then there's going to be innocent people. It might be the lost, it might be the church, but other people are going to suffer because we fail to have victory in our life. We forget about Romans 8:37. It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." The Christian church ought to have victory this morning. We don't have to be downcast. We don't have to be defeated. Well, listen, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who. You can put the devil himself in the White House. Some of you think he's there. You can put the devil himself in the White House. And we can still have victory. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our spiritual destination is not determined by the political winds or who's in office or who's in Nashville or who's in Washington. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of all. And He's our Savior this morning. Innocent people suffer. You don't realize. I'm confident this morning that the children of Israel didn't really realize how many times they'd made that circle. I had a buddy when I was in high school, and he liked riding the strip. And just go out there and ride. Round and round, round and round, back and forth. If I wanted to ride, I'd rather go to the country. Didn't realize how much time he was wasting. Well, turn with me to 2 Samuel real quickly this morning. I could stay there in Deuteronomy for a few minutes longer, but I want to get on to 2 Samuel. I've got a lot to say. Let's talk about getting past the mountain this morning. I preached on this before, but I want you to notice a few things. I'm going to keep you in 2 Samuel 15 for a little while longer, then I'll be through this morning. 2 Samuel 15, there's three verses I want you to look at, and then we're going to look at several more verses in that chapter. But in 2 Samuel chapter 15, look with me at verse number 30. Verse number 30. 2 Samuel 15. Verse 30, this is when David is fleeing from Absalom. Some of you remember that story. David's fled from Absalom. Absalom is now in Jerusalem. Now, in that same rooftop that David lusted after Bathsheba, Absalom is committing adultery with David's wives. 2 Samuel 15, verse 30, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about getting over the mountain instead of going around it. We're talking about getting past our problems instead of keeping continuing to struggle with them. We're talking about going on for God and not living in the shadow of that dark thing that hurts us in our life. Bible says David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. Verse 32, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount. Now look at chapter 16, verse 1, and when David was a little past the top of the hill. I want to preach to you this morning about what it's going to take for you to get past that mountain. What it's going to take for you to get past, for you to get out of that cycle of defeat in your Christian life. I'm going to preach to you this morning about what it's going to take for you to go on for God and be what. Listen, it is not, let me say it one more time, it is not the will of God that you stay where you're at. God wants us to all go on and do more things for Him. God wants us to grow as His children. Don't get to see Chloe this morning, so I don't know, it may be a day or two before I get to see her, but she grows every time I see her. Every time I see her. And that's great. It's great. I mean, it's kind of sad, but it's great. It's great. The Lord wants His children to grow too. The Lord wants His children to grow too. How long have you been saved? Been saved 4 or 5 years? Are you growing like a 4 or 5 year old ought to? Or are you still in diapers? You still sucking a pacifier? When I was in kindergarten, I won't call her name, but my next door neighbor was an elderly lady, and her granddaughter was in my kindergarten class, and she would come and stay with my neighbor after school a lot. We called her Pig. She wasn't heavy or anything. I know that's politically incorrect, but that's what all the boys in the neighborhood called. You know why we called her Pig? Because she's in the first grade. She's still sucking a bottle. Is that you? You've been saved 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years, still on the bottle? You think the Lord wants to pull out your... You remember the story of Job? The Lord said to Job, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the land?" You think the Lord pulls out a picture of you out of His wallet, you that's been saved for 15, 20 years, still sucking a pacifier, still sucking a bottle, and shows it to the devil and say, "Hey, have you considered my servant David? That big baby?" Everybody all right this morning? David went up. David got to the top, and then the Bible says David went on past the top of the hill. Let's talk about that for a minute. There's things to get over in the Christian life, is there not? David had a tough hill to climb. Bible tells us back in an earlier prior verse in that chapter that David and his men, they're barefoot and weeping as they're going up. This was about the hardest, roughest, toughest thing David's ever had to do. He's leaving his palace. He's leaving his home. He's leaving his kingdom. His own son has risen up against him. His own son wants to kill him. His own son is trying to take the kingdom from him. Some of David's men have turned against him. It is every type of bad thing that could happen to anybody, all rolled up in one. And David's having to flee his home and flee his possessions and flee his kingdom and go wherever he can to save his own hide. It's a pretty rough way to go, isn't it? So, Brother David, mine's worse than that. Well, let's see what it's going to take to get over it. I see, first of all, this morning, it's not so much what David did, it's what he didn't do, first of all. David didn't try to blame somebody else for all of his problems. David didn't try to blame somebody else for his problems. You're never going to get over that mountain, friend, as long as you're trying to blame somebody else for it. As long as you're compassing Mount Seir and you're going round and around and you're saying, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did this and this happened back when I was a kid and brother so-and-so did, you're never going to go on for God. You've got to quit blaming everybody else. And I see David here, he's not making excuses. David is settled into this thing. David knows that really he's at fault. David understands that this problem is of his own doing. And he's going on and he's not going to point his finger at somebody. He's not going to point his finger at Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a great counselor whose words were as the words of God, the Bible says. He was so wise. And he's joined with Absalom. And other men have joined with Absalom. And the great forces and the great people have gone with Absalom. But David's not pointing fingers. Listen to this morning, church. If you're going to go on for God, you got to quit pointing fingers at everybody else and what everybody else is doing wrong. That's what's wrong in the church world. That's what's wrong in America. That's what's wrong in Washington, D.C., I see that David did not blame somebody else. You know, most of the mountains that we have to get over in our own life are most of the time our own fault anyways. You do realize that, don't you? Most of your big problems this morning, most of you that are going around and around the same old mountain, I mean, and it's every week you're back at the same place. And you think you're doing good, but you're just really circling the mountain. You feel like you're doing pretty good, but you find yourself back at the same old place, stubbing your toe on the same old root, like Brother Johnny Gibson used to preach. And it's the same old thing all the time in your life. And all the while, you're blaming somebody else. Well, you're never going to get over it. You're never going to get over it. Let me ask you a question this morning. What difference does it make whose fault it is anyway? What difference does it make whose fault it is? You're spending all your time going around and around and you're never going on for God and you're in that same place continually in your spiritual life. What difference does it make whose fault it is? It's just pride. Pride wants you to point the finger. It's been a long time since I told the story. I think I'll tell it. I may get in trouble for telling the story. It's been a long time since I told it. One of my boys, you narrow it down to four, can't you? Was being potty trained. And he was doing real good. And I came in from work one day, and Trisha said, he's got something to tell you. He had been doing good. He'd been going all day long. He was just at night. We'd put him in a diaper or pull up or something, you know, just in case. But he'd been doing real good. Well, that day he had an accident while he was taking his nap. And Trish said, he's got something to tell you. And I said, what is it? And he said, while I was taking my nap, my brother peed in my pants. Ain't no way he could have done it. I don't know how his brother done it either, but... You think that's funny? What about all the excuses you make while you've been going around the same mountain all these years? What about all your excuses? Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. David didn't do that. David didn't blame somebody else. David's going up. David's going on. I see in verse 31, One told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Instead of David saying, that sorry dog, David prays. David said, oh, Lord, I pray thee. I say to you this morning, if you're going to go on for God, if you're to the place that you're sick and tired of going around the same mountain, quit blaming everybody else and get a hold to God for a change. Instead of talking about your problems to everybody that'll listen to you, why not talk to God about them? Instead of telling everybody else how sorry somebody else is and how somebody else has done wrong, then just talk to God for a change and say, God, show me what I need to do to get past this thing. Yeah. Yeah. David begins to pray. Are you too good to use the altar this morning? We want to see our children use the altar, don't we? Don't the thoughts of seeing your children kneeling around the altar praying and getting a hold to God do you good? Sure. Well, then why don't you lead the way when you need to pray? Well, that ain't not that great. David was not ashamed to pray, not ashamed to get a hold to God. Do you have a secret place of prayer? Do you have a secret place of prayer? Well, I tell you, young people, when I was 14, 15 years old, I had a place where I prayed, and I just went by myself and prayed there. I'm not going to tell you that I held on to that like I should have because I didn't. But I know that even as a 14, 15-year-old boy, you can have a special place of prayer where you can get a hold of God. And it'll help you in life. It'll help you in life. David began to pray. The Bible tells about David weeping back in an earlier verse. I don't see it in front of me here right now, but David's weeping. Do we get to the point in our prayers that we just pour our heart out to God and begin to weep before God? It's been a while since I said anything about weeping, folks. I'm telling you, there is no virtue. There's no holy. Tears are not holy water. There's nothing. There is no power in your tears. It's the same thing as what you sweat, probably. But I'm telling you, when your heart gets to the place, the Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. When you come to the place before God that you're broken because of your mistake and because you've been going around that mountain long enough and you get to the place that you can weep before God, I'm telling you, there'll be some changes take place. David began to weep. He began to pray. I see in verse 30, again, David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. Well, if you're going to get over that mountain, you're going to have to climb. Climbing's hard, isn't it? Climbing's difficult. It's a lot easier going down a hill, isn't it? I remember, and I've told this story before too, but I was probably 16. I was probably about 17. It's hard for me to remember. It's been so far back. I was about 17, and we didn't have, when I was in high school, you had football, baseball. We didn't have soccer. We did have tennis, and they had golf, and they had basketball. That's about it. We didn't have track. We didn't have cross country. There's a lot of things that kids get offered today that we didn't have. But we had heard about cross country. Some of the boys in my neighborhood, we had heard about cross country. So we made us a cross country course. We had to climb fences and jump creeks and everything else. But we made us this cross country thing back in the field behind the house. And we'd keep our time. And every day when we got off the bus, several of us get together and we'd run. Well, I had the record of the fastest time. And one of the boys that ran with us, he wasn't that fast. But one day we got ready to run, and he wasn't there. He wasn't there. And so we waited a few minutes, and we said, well, we're going to go ahead and run anyway. We took off. Well, about halfway, we had to go through some woods there. And as we were coming out of the woods, which is about halfway in the course, here come that old boy just a-getting it. And passed me up, lickety-split, and ran off and left me. And had the record time. He got the record time. Now, I knew what that sorry rascal had done. He got off the bus and snuck up there and was hiding in the woods, is what he was doing. He was hiding the whole time. He never ran. He made us think, oh, when I got down there where you, and I saw y'all, y'all was way off, he said. When I got down, I just took off and caught you and passed you. I got the record time. Boy, he was all excited, and I was all upset, I'm telling you. Pride got me and slew me. And I made up my mind that there was no way that record was going to stand. There was no way. And so the next day, buddy, I let out of there like the devil himself was after me. And I remember the last, going up to where the stopping place was, where we kept the watch, where we kept up with our time, there was a hill to climb. And I'm telling you, when I got there, my legs felt like somebody had tied concrete blocks to them. I had run so hard and so fast that to climb, and it really wasn't that big of a hill, but it seemed so difficult. Because I was so tired and weary, I'm telling you, that may be where you're at this morning, but you've got to climb. Get sick and tired in your heart of being where you're at and climb that hill and climb that mountain and go on for God. It's not easy to climb. It's easy to go downhill. David went up by the ascent. David worked at it. He climbed. He kept putting one foot in front of the other. I'm telling you, he was determined that he was going to get over that thing. Somewhere, friend, you're going to have to do some climbing. If you're going to quit going around and around the same old mountain all the time, you're going to have to learn to do some climbing somewhere in your life. Don't let the devil keep you where you're at. Climb that mountain. Well, I want you to notice this. To me, this is the most important thing I've got to talk about this morning, verse 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mountain. Now, he's not over it yet. He's at the crest. When David was come to the top of the mount, where he, what? Worshipped God. Now, has David still got troubles in his life? You better believe it. His troubles are just as bad now as they were when he started this thing. His son's still trying to kill him. His men have still forsaken him. His kingdom is still departed from him. But he's kept going, and now he gets to the top of the mount, and David decides, this would be a good place for me just to worship the Lord. I'll tell you something this morning, friend. Those that are waiting till they get on the other side of the mountain to start truly worshiping God are never going to worship God. Some of you are waiting till everybody else is shouting. Then you think, well, I'm going to shout too. You'll never shout. Some of you wait till everybody else is in the altar and you think, I'll go to the altar too. You'll never go to the altar. I see here that David, even yet when he's still got all the problems, everything's still going wrong in his life, just like it was when he started up the mountain. But David gets to a place that he decides he's going to worship God. Reminds me of Job. Job, when everything had been taken from Job, he's lost his possessions, he's lost his children. The Bible says that Job fell on his face and worshiped God and said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Do you realize this morning that anybody can worship God when everything's going good? Yeah. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Boy, I tell you, I just don't really feel like worshiping God today. Okay. Do you realize that that's what you've been saying and saying as you've been going around this mountain over and over and over again? One of these days, I tell you, one of these days, things are going to be different. One of these days, my favorite preacher will be preaching. One of these days, I tell you, they're going to sing my favorite song. One of these days, we're going to have a really good service and I'm going to really worship God. You're not going to worship God until you get to the place that you're willing to serve God regardless of what's going on in your life. Do you understand this morning that God can get more glory from your worship when things are going bad in your life than He can when things are going good? Do you understand that? The glory to God is when you worship Him in the hardest of times. That's why the earthquake and the bonds and the chains fell off when Paul and Silas sang and praised about midnight one night. And because in the hardest and the most difficult of times, they were in jail for serving God, but they still worshiped Him, and God blessed that. Hey, anybody can worship God when everybody else is, when everything's going right. Well, I'll tell you, Brother David, I don't read my Bible. I'll get excited. And I don't really get praying when I get all this stuff took care of. You ain't going to never do it. You've been going around that mountain for 20 years now. David got to the top of the mountain. He's not over it all yet. He's not past it all yet. But David is worshiping God. He's worshiping God. He's humbling himself. He's exalting his Lord. He's giving praise. He's giving thanks. He's not just going to church. There ain't even a church there. He's worshiping God. Listen, Do you understand this morning that God is worthy of your worship regardless of how you feel in your heart? He deserves worship. He deserves glory. He deserves honor. He deserves praise regardless of what's going on in your life. You're never going to get over it until you start worshiping God in the hardest of times, which is what David did. David begins to worship. Let's move on. I notice in verse 33 that David is speaking to Hushai, the Archite. He sends him back to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. We see down in verse number 1 of chapter 16, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, upon them 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. I see David is willing to let somebody else help him. You know why some folks never get... You know why some folks are going around that same old mountain? They're not willing to let somebody else help them. Like a little... You ever tried to teach a kid how to tie his shoes that didn't want to learn how to tie his shoes? Or that thought... That was too embarrassed to let you try to teach him how to tie his shoes. You ever done that? I know how. I tell you, I've seen these kids try to hit a baseball. And the coach, they swing and miss and swing and miss and swing and miss and swing and miss. And the coach gets up there and says, I know how. I know what I'm doing. Okay, go ahead. Swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss. And the coach says, come here. Hold your arm up a little bit. Point your toes toward the plate. Keep your eye on the ball. I know. No, you don't know. If you knew, why ain't you hitting the ball? David was willing to let somebody else help him. You know why we don't want other people to help us get over the hump? Because we don't want to admit failure. We don't want to admit that we can't do it by ourselves. We're too proud. David here is willing to let others help him. And then we read in chapter 16 and verse number 1, when David was a little past the top of the hill, David got over it. He got a ride. There's two asses saddled there. He got food. He got strength. He got encouragement. He got revival. Some of his doubts are no doubt washed away. His faith's been increased. And things are different with David than they were before. I want you to notice real quickly in chapter 16, verse 5. When King David, some of you are familiar with this story. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people, all the mighty men that were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out. Thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. Abishai, verse 9, said to David, should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. You know what David said? Well, let him curse. Let him curse. You know what I see? I see when David gets over this thing, that things that maybe once would have bothered David like water off a duck's back now. Do you understand this morning, brother and sister, that the reason why so many things bother you is because you're going around the same old mountain all the time? But when David got over it, when David got past that thing, the things that the devil throws against him now, they don't even faze him. I let him curse. He ain't bothering me. In fact, I notice that the Bible said in verse 30, David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. Verse 32, and it came to pass when David was come to the top of the mount. But then when he gets on the other side, the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 16, when David was a little past the top of the hill. Do you see that, friend? I'm telling you, when you're going up and when you're going around it, and I'm telling you it's there and it's been there in your life and you've been living in its shadow forever, it seems like a big old mountain in your life. But when you get over it, you look back, you'll see it's just a little old hill. David, now that he's gone on, there's other problems in David's life. There's other mountains to climb. There's other hills to get over. There's other things to discourage him. There's other people that are going to be against him. his problems aren't over. But I tell you, he's not dealing with this one anymore. I'm asking you this morning, how long are you going to go around that same old mountain over and over and over again? Going through that cycle of defeat. Blaming somebody else for the reason why. You know, I've seen people go from this church to that church to this church to that church to this church to that church, and every time they leave that church, leave another church, they'll say, "Well, I'm just not getting fed. I'm just not getting fed. I'm just not getting fed." And maybe they're not. I don't know. I tell you what, I know what the problem for most people is they're trying to blame somebody else while they're not growing spiritually. And the real root is they're just going around and around and around and around in a cycle of defeat. Let me ask you a question this morning. The reason why you don't pray like you ought to, and the reason why you don't read your Bible like you ought to, and the reason why you don't come to church like you ought to, the times you miss service, is it the same old thing that knocks you out of service every time? Is it the same thing that knocks you out of your Bible reading every time? Is it the same old thing that knocks you out of your prayer every time? You've come past that mountain long enough. You've come past that mountain long enough. I mean, my goodness, go to another mountain. Find you another place. You can pass Mount Seir many days. Micah, come to the pen if you would. I preached to church this morning.